trees, the trees that are grown, taken care of, and used for various things. Did you know, do you guys like McDonald's milkshakes? Yeah, you like those, right? You know what those things are thickened with? Wood products. They're the kind of wood products, obviously, that have been rendered safe. What's a paper towel made out of? It's made out of a tree. When they put your groceries in at the supermarket, the Piggly Wiggly, or the Winn-Dixie, that's paper. That's made from trees. And we've started talking with how the trees are actually planted and taken care of, and we've, like I said, we're speeding up the process here. And if we speed up the process, we're going to say it's 30 years from now. It's only 30 minutes, a year a minute, 30 years. Trees are up. It's time to figure out what to do with them. You can go over there to the Conclave events, and you can see people who are learning, working in the forestry, and learning about management by actually working with the wood. The portable sawmill over there, sawing the wood, the milling, and we'll have a workshop here later talking about how do you cut up wood and what do you do with it. We'll have loggers here in a moment talking about how to cut it. But first, we got to figure out how much we got to cut. So those trees are standing up 30 feet, and we get a hold of people again, like Mr. Post from Lake City?
Lewis, sorry. Mr. Post was at University of Florida.
Oh, darn. Don Lewis at Lake City Community College Center in the forestry program there. Mark Sanford, and got a new person here, Arthur Bailey from Bluntstown, to talk about an aspect of the forest industries called cruising. Now, most people think of cruising in ships and boats. This is cruising trees. And I'm going to ask, let's see, who should I ask to define this? Are you almost done there?
Yeah.
Good. Mr. Lewis, would you tell us what cruising is?
Well, I usually try to explain the process of cruising to our students at the college as a forester or a resource manager needs to know what's in his or her store, just like someone who runs a Winn-Dixie or a Publix or a 7-Eleven, so that they'll know what they have in their store. A store manager has to know what's selling and what's not selling and what he needs to order more of. Likewise, along a similar vein, the resource manager needs to know what's in his or her store. And we do this through a method called cruising, which is sort of a vernacular term that has stuck through the years. More academic terms you would hear would be in forest inventory or forest sampling. And basically, because in most situations, because the task is so ominous, it's too large a project to go out and actually measure every single individual tree on, say, 40, 100 acres, we simply take a sample and measure a portion of the stand or the trees in the stand, and from that we make predictions about the entire stand. Again, it depends on what you're looking for, what your objective is, as to what data you would take. If it's a management cruise, we have cruises that are called CFI, which are continuous forest inventory, which are of a lesser intensity. And there are all types of methods, and the three of us, probably each one uses a different method of cruising, and usually it's what you feel comfortable with.
Okay. What do you need to do cruising? It seems that if you want to figure out the volume and how much you've got, you have to have a pretty good eye for that. But if you're starting out, your eye's probably not very good. What kinds of tools do you use, if any? Let's start with Mr. Sanford.
The tools we use are to measure the individual trees and to measure our plot size. If we're doing a 1/10 acre plot, it's a circular plot and the radius is 37 feet 2 inches. All the trees within that plot, we will estimate the diameter and height and tally or write down the number of trees per 2-inch diameter class and per log height in a tally book, and that's how we keep our inventory. I'll show you some of the tools we use. The cruise is usually laid out on a grid pattern that looks something like maybe like a checkerboard, where each plot that you take is the same distance. It's the same distance between the plot before and the plot after is the one you're working on. They have to all be the same distance apart. We do usually what we call lines and plots. A line is a row of plots. We'll do a row of plots, move over a certain distance, do another row of plots, move over a certain distance, and do another row of plots. And usually we run this line of plots either north, south, or east, west. And for that we use a compass like this. It's got a mirror on the top. When you hold it up like this, you can see the needle and make sure that it's pointing in the direction that you're heading. And over the top of the compass, while you've got your needle lined up, it's got a sight like on a gun, and you look through the sight and you make sure that you've got something that you can look at and walk towards. This is a clinometer that we use to measure tree heights.
Clinometer?
Clinometer, right. Okay. We put our tape in the tree and walk back either 66 or 100 feet, depending on the scale of the clinometer that we're using. When it's held level, looking at eye level at the tree, that's zero. Look down to the butt, and it reads how many feet from zero to the butt, which is, for me, usually 6 feet. And then up to either the total height of the tree or the merchantable height, which is where it would be cut off to be taken to the mill. The merchantable height stops when the tree becomes too limby, or it's got too many knots, and they can't utilize the wood for either pulpwood or saw timber.
So really what you're doing is an estimate rather than a really precise. It's kind of hard.
Well, it's an estimate, but regularly throughout the cruise, these aren't estimates.
Those aren't. That would be exact. Those are exact. Okay.
Now, I do estimate merchantable heights and diameters, but throughout the cruise, I'll check myself to make sure that my eye is calling things as they are.
Okay.
Some more stuff.
Let's see what he's got now.
Okay. Well, Mark mentioned he says you put your tape in the tree when you're going to measure the heights. We do estimate some heights, but a good cruiser will check him or herself periodically, even throughout a given day, especially after, like, when you take a break for lunch. You'll measure the tree heights with the instruments, and then you do some other estimating, but... we have loggers tapes in various lengths. Most of the ones that we use are self-winding. They come in various lengths. This is a 50-foot loggers tape. This larger one here is a 75-foot loggers tape. I don't have... This one has what we call a horseshoe nail or a tack in it. You can just stick this in the bark of the tree and walk out the given distance, the 50 feet or 66 feet from the tree, to take your height with the various height instruments. Also, on the back of the newer loggers tapes, we have a diameter tape. In order to determine the volume of a tree, you need to know two basic things. You need to know about the roundness, something about the roundness, and something about the length. And foresters have, through time, come up with a term called DBH, which is diameter breast high, 4.5 feet above the ground. And this tape will take the circumference of the tree and convert it immediately to diameter in inches and tenths of inches. And that's on the back of the loggers tapes. They also make diameter tapes by themselves that you can use. The other instrument that I have here, I might just show you, and then Mark and Arthur have some more that they can show you. I brought a ruloscope with me, and the ruloscope is a very handy little instrument. They'll do just about anything you want them to, but this little piece of equipment right here cost almost $700. So the cost makes more prohibitive.
Don't drop it.
So
They'll do lots of things, like they've got a clinometer in there, two or three different scales. You can use them as a basal area gauge. You can use them with a rangefinder. So they adjust automatically for slope. We don't have much slope in Florida. But anyhow, it's a very handy gadget, but they are very expensive. So Mark and Arthur have some other instruments.
Let's see, Arthur, do you have any particular tools that you like to use to do the work?
I use the...
He uses the vest that's over there in the bushes.
Most all of us use a cruiser's vest.
Vest, yeah. It's a lots of pockets.
Pockets.
Forever. And it's orange.
Of course. Orange and blue. Had to get that plug-in for Florida.
Oh, you did, huh? It sounds. I think you have to get that plug-in for not wanting to get shot. What do you have, Arthur? You have a...
I call it a caliber.
Okay. You have to speak up a little bit. We got the sawmill going on, so I have to just speak up just a little more.
Normally, I use the caliber. I used to use the logger's tape with the diameter on it until I was putting my tape around the tree and poked my face in a white oak.
Oops.
White oak snake. And so normally I use this caliber, and I normally measure the tree twice and average it to a certain size, or 12 inches or 10 inches. I cruise in a 2-inch diameter class. And I use the compass. Mm-hmm.
Same sort of things.
Logger's tape for the distance and from the plot radius.
Mm-hmm. One of the things you were mentioning there was the fact that getting comfortable, using the tools that actually you're the most comfortable with. Does it get to a point that you find yourself really more comfortable using your own eye? You've developed the experience so you can actually gauge things better by eye, and then you sometimes check yourself, or do you use those tools like you can't use anything else, you're just going to use them?
Once I get in the stand and start cruising, and then I check several heights, and then normally I just call them by eye.
You couldn't afford to measure every tree.
No.
I might, too time consuming.
Yeah,
really I might is. Measure one tree out of every 200 that I call.
Okay.
Something like that.
Really? Okay. So how long would a cruise take? Like, okay, what? Well, let's go through again. Starting at what time in the morning and how long do you go?
Depends how rough the site is.
Okay.
Meaning? How much brush you have to walk through, high it is, how much tally you've got. The more trees that you're having to tally in your book, and that's what this is that we carry in the woods like that, with pages for our tally. The more you have to tally, the longer it takes. A slow date for me would be 70 plots, and the most I've ever done consistently, 130.
It's called power cruising. Yeah. Okay. So what time, is it same thing again? You have to work by time of day, heat and temperature.
In the winter, you can work all day.
No problem. What about in the rain? Do you work in the rain at all?
If it's sprinkling, keep working, but if it really starts raining hard or lightning, leave.
What about hazardous kinds of things? The things immediately I think about was I'd walk and all of a sudden I would probably step on a snake.
You probably would.
Yeah.
Everybody does if you cruise.
Yeah, everybody does. What other kinds of hazards, occupational hazards, are there?
Yellow jackets, wasps, poison ivy, poison ivy. Yeah. You even run into potholes or... Yeah. Step in a well.
Do you ever bring anything with you, like any kinds of, bee sting remedy or any kinds of actually home remedies that you might have that have helped you along the way?
Tobacco. If you get stung by a yellow jacket or a wasp, if you get some tobacco, any kind,
really?
Cigarette or any kind, and get a little bit wet and put it on the sting, that seems to...
So we won't put the tobacco industry out of business yet. All right, okay. What about, what we'd like to do is, all right, we got a pretty good pack of beginning cruisers here. How many of you kids out there would like to learn about how you measure trees? How you go out in the woods and measure trees to see how much you can actually cut and maybe make into a house or make into a bunch of paper? Okay, we got some, all right. Well, okay, we got two. Let's see, do we have three? Yeah, we got three over there. Do we have four, five, or two? Five. Okay. what we're going to do here is we're going to let Arthur, Mark, and Don take you all out and actually cruise over in whatever area you want. And but before we do that, the thing I want to know from all of you is how you got involved in this. I know for, let's start with Arthur.
I started going in the woods with my dad. He was in the logging business when I was 6 years old, and I enjoyed the work as I grew up, and I started working with Georgia Timberland in 68, started cruising in about 71. I never been to college. I learned cruising out on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay. What about you, Mark?
I started working for a pulpwood company when I was in high school and just became interested in it and went to University of Florida to get my forestry degree.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about you?
Well, I guess I would be considered a city slicker in that I was born and raised in Jacksonville, although I lived out in the boonies. It was dirt roads out there now. It's pavement currently, but... I just had a love of the outdoors, and I liked to hunt and fish for a city slicker, and always liked the outdoors. And then I went to Lake City straight out of high school and graduated from their technician program. And then I went to work for a pulp and paper concern in Palatka. It was Hudson Pulp then. It's now Georgia Pacific. Buying timber, cruising, and marking timber for a living, and buying wood for 3 years, and then went back to school to the University of Florida, and somehow ended up in teaching.
Yeah, really, somehow. Okay, let's see if we have any questions. Yes.
First thing they need, he's the one to ask that, but the first thing you need to do is decide exactly what it is you want to end up doing. If you want to end up being a consultant and write management plans and manage timberland, you need a different type of or a more extensive education than if you're only going to cruise and mark. But he can probably answer the rest of that better than me.
Basically, in the forestry profession or the forest industry, there's three broad areas of in the workforce. There's the woods worker, what I call the woods worker, which in some cases requires no formal education per se, but it requires an education unto itself. I happen to know earlier you're in logging, and that takes a special education. You don't necessarily go to school for it, although there are some places you can, but I call it the school or college of hard knocks, as you well know. So there's the woods workforce, which deals a lot with equipment, logging, harvesting exercises. There's the technicians, which we graduate from Lake City. And then there are the professional foresters that, as Mark alluded to, that are consultants and forest land managers. And there are some folks that I guess Arthur mentioned he didn't really go to university or that can just, by being in the woods and being around foresters or technicians, pick it up and again through the School of Hard Knocks. There's about three levels.
If a student got out of high school and wanted to become a forester, what is the average cost per year, or is there, or what?
Well, that might be something to talk about. That might be something actually that you folks could talk about, you know, later. I think people are going to be interested in that, and Don's going to be around for a while. Also, the Conclave kids might be able to talk about that some too. I think what we do need to do right now is those people who would like to go out on a cruise, and that give you the opportunity to talk more, I think, and really see what goes into it, as well as to talk with the people about the work they do. But just thank you very much, and go cruise. Okay. And what we're going to do in about a little more than five minutes is, now you know how to cruise and you got the thickness, you know how much you're going to cut down, then you got to get a bunch of people to cut it down for you. So we're going to be bringing some loggers to talk about their work.
I didn't bring any volume tables. No, I didn't.
I got a room to pick up.
Yeah, don't
So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Okay, so thank you.